Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
So where are we on testing for the coronavirus? There's been a lot of criticism. The NIH's Anthony Fauci said the U.S. isn't set up for the idea of anybody getting tested easily, as happens in other countries. But the White House has a goal of testing tens of thousands by the end of this week. Here's Vice President Pence at the White House yesterday.
We will now have access in the days ahead to more than 2,000 labs across the country that have the equipment today to process coronavirus tests much more rapidly and a much higher volume for the American people. In terms of delivering those services, more than 10 states, in addition to CDC labs, and public health labs, and labs that states can now authorize in their states, more than 10 states have implemented their own drive-through testing sites.
So hopefully that will unfold as planned. But what about a vaccine? Human trials of one begin today, reportedly including 45 healthy volunteers at the Kaiser Permanente Research Institute in Seattle. It's a vaccine funded by the National Institutes of Health and co-developed by biotech company Moderna. We spoke with them last month. Well, today we want to check in with Dr. Dan Baruch, director of the Center for Virology and Vaccine Research at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center in Boston. Now, he's known for his work on vaccines for the Zika virus and HIV, which causes AIDS, and is now in the race for a coronavirus vaccine. Dr. Baruch, welcome.
Pleasure to be here.
So remind us of where we are here. You and others say it was critical that Chinese officials actually release the genetic sequence of this new coronavirus, the one that causes COVID-19. That's helped you?
Absolutely. The sequence of the coronavirus was released on January 10th, and that allowed us and many other groups to start working on a vaccine immediately. In fact, our team started to analyze the sequence that same day, and we worked through the weekend to develop vaccine immunogens that could be used for vaccine development.
So, again, we have the DNA, which is the roadmap. And as we understand it, the Moderna vaccine uses RNA. This translates genetic information in DNA into proteins. The Moderna vaccine set up these, you know, so-called custom-built messenger RNAs, sent them in there to produce an immune response to the coronavirus. Your vaccines, we understand, have two approaches. One also has to do with DNA. The other is related to the common cold. Can you briefly tell us what your hope is?
So these all are part of a class of vaccines called gene-based vaccines. We take just a piece of the virus, DNA or RNA, and we use that as a vaccine. This is different than traditional vaccine methods, which would use the entire virus as the vaccine.
And what is the basic thinking? Is it to trick the body into, you know, forming an immunity to the virus?
Yes. So we are producing DNA vaccines as well as recombinant adenovirus vector-based vaccines, which means that a piece of the coronavirus is encoded in a piece of DNA called a plasmid or into a common cold virus that is harmless. Once injected into the body, these are carriers that take the gene of interest, the coronavirus piece, into cells. The host then makes the protein, and we make an immune response to that protein.
How is it different now because of technology? Is it just you can get to the genetic coding of the virus faster? I mean, how is it different today than maybe 50 years ago?
There's several important differences. First, we have recombinant DNA technology, which means we can go directly from the sequence of the virus of interest to vaccine constructs much more quickly than we used to. Secondly, the techniques to develop vaccines are very different. For example, the DNA vaccines, the RNA vaccines, and the live recombinant vector-based vaccines didn't exist 50 years ago.
Well, we understand there are many hoping for this holy grail. Texas Children's Hospital and Dr. Peter Hotez. Dr. Hotez, by the way, is also talking about a serum treatment that would help infected patients created by drawing antibodies from the blood of patients who've recovered from COVID-19. Very exciting. We're going to talk to him tomorrow. But Hotez and his team are also working on prevention, are using a SARS vaccine that was shelved when SARS, which, a reminder, is another coronavirus, faded away. Their vaccine has been frozen since then. He says, you know, it's like hockey. You want to take as many shots on the goal as you can. You agree, right?
Absolutely. The race is not against other vaccine developers. The race is against the virus and the epidemic. There's actually a lot of collaboration and working together amongst people who are engaged in this. It's needed to have multiple different vaccines move forward. In fact, the parallel development of multiple vaccines against the coronavirus is really essential because at this point in time, we do not know which vaccines will prove the safest, the most effective, the most durable, and also the most deployable.
Yeah. I want to talk about your HIV vaccine. It's still not on the market after years and years of research, but how hopeful. And we understand it's in clinical trials. But why did that take so long? The outbreak was in the 80s.
For HIV, vaccine development has presented unique and unprecedented scientific challenges. It's not a single virus sequence, but rather a countless number of different virus sequences throughout the world, in any region, and even in a single infected individual. So for HIV, we don't know exactly which sequence to use. For the coronavirus, as well as other pathogens like Zika virus, so far sequences are relatively homogeneous. So we have a much clearer target. In addition, for HIV, there isn't a single person that we know of that has recovered and cleared the virus through their own immune system. Whereas for more traditional viruses like Zika virus, like the coronavirus, then most people who get infected do recover. So we have experiments of nature that show us that it's possible for the immune system to conquer the virus.
Well, I just want to jump here to make sure that we make clear. People who have HIV, you say that the virus might not clear out from their body, but they don't necessarily get full-blown AIDS and they don't necessarily get sick.
For HIV-infected individuals, there is no known case of an HIV-infected individual completely clearing the virus and being cured based on their own immune responses. We can control the virus with medications, and those are life-saving. However, so far, we're not able to cure them. And the important point from that is that for HIV, there are unique scientific challenges that are unprecedented in the history of vaccinology.
Well, and, you know, of course, we wish you the best of luck with yours. But yours also, you know, the platform that you've used for that and for Zika is now helping you with your work on the coronavirus. Let's just go back to that for a second. What does it feel like in the lab? I mean, when there's this race against time.
So first, there is no way that we could have moved so quickly in the development of a coronavirus vaccine if it wasn't for the fact that we have developed these platform technologies for other pathogens in the past, such as HIV and Zika. But nevertheless, there's a huge sense of urgency amongst everyone in the lab who's working on this. Long days, no weekends, to try to move things forward even just a little bit faster.
Yeah. And back to the Moderna vaccine. Again, this is from another company. It's now being tested on humans, volunteers. I would think these people who are volunteering to do this are, that's pretty spectacular.
For a clinical trial of a new vaccine, the volunteers are educated that this is an experimental vaccine. We don't know for sure whether it will work or not. And there also may be risks that we don't know about yet. That being said, these technologies have been used in humans for other pathogens, so for other virus vaccines. So although they are new and they could have unexpected adverse effects, we are relatively sure that the vaccines will be safe. How effective they will be remains unknown.
Well, that is the last question. What do you think? When do you think there might be a vaccine?
It's very difficult to say when there will be a vaccine for coronavirus. What I can tell you is that the timeline to initiating the first in-human phase one clinical trial is not the same as the timeline for when a vaccine will be available to the public. For example, it might only take a few months to get a vaccine into a clinical trial, but there's still a lot of work that has to be done before the vaccine can be tested in large numbers of people, can be manufactured at hundreds of millions of doses, and deployed in clinical populations across the world.
There's a cautionary tale here. We still know how much the everyday flu kills, and there's a vaccine for that. So hopefully people's memories won't fade, and when the vaccine comes for COVID-19, they take it. I think the flu shots now is at 45%.
Absolutely. Well, when there is a vaccine against coronavirus, then there will be a lot of discussion as to how it will be deployed, and it will be very much dependent on where the epidemic is at that point in time. There is a possibility that such a vaccine will be needed to end the epidemic. However, if the epidemic resolves through public health measures, which of course is what we would hope, a vaccine would still be very useful for the next epidemic or a future epidemic.
Dr. Dan Baruch, Director of the Center for Virology and Vaccine Research at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, also well-known for his groundbreaking research on HIV and Zika vaccines, and he's joined the race for the coronavirus vaccine. Dr. Baruch, Dan, thank you so much, and best to you.
Thank you very much.